Okay.
So if hierarchy is no good, what are we going to do?
That's a great question. Okay. And some of this will be a bit more structured in a moment, ideally. The idea is to move to something. Well, we've seen this problem before. If we look at the first real medium where we outgrew a hierarchical search, we've seen that on the web. If we look historically at the web and go for its kind of immediate predecessor, originally things were arranged hierarchically there. We had FTP sites, we had Gopher sites. Originally Yahoo, you know, the first, well, the very popular search engine from just before the Google era. And Yahoo started off hierarchically organized. We outgrew that very quickly, just because there was too much data. It wasn't practical anymore to continue to attempt to organize and search through that data in a hierarchical fashion. Hierarchies were too deep, too wide, and it just required way too much memorization. The real success of things like Google has been that it has, in a fairly intuitive way, reorganized these data structures such that we can find things fairly quickly. I'm making things up here as I go, because I think some of this is in my presentation. Melted. Okay, we're almost there. So I'll keep saying non-coherent or incoherent things for the next few minutes, and we have it. Cool. You have K presenter?
I do, yes.
Okay, we're there. All right. Now what I'm saying might actually make some sense. Yeah. Well. See, that's part of my brain, so. Nor does this look good with the K-percenter side of things. There you go. K-percenter's doing some wonderful things here, but. Let's see.
Someone else is watching.
Wonderful. Yay, K-percenter.
No one forward and one back.
Technology loves me today.
Weak presentation mode, maybe.
But we've got most of the stuff here. nice.
Press escape.
Wonderful. That's not working much better. We'll pretend that I can read everything that's there. That's what I get for running ahead. Okay. So, starting kind of from the beginning here. What is hierarchical data? What do I mean by that? Normally, I think most people kind of understand that. That's what we typically see when we open up something like Conqueror and we start browsing through our files in our home directory. That's also what we see in systems like K-Control. Those are two examples, and I'll move on to some better ones here in a moment. This also includes networks and online media, pretty much anything that we've been abstracting with K and stores and such. What is search? Search is an attempt, again here I'm covering pretty basic concepts, search is an attempt to organize that data, not hierarchically, but to index it, and there are a few steps in that process that I outline a little bit further. Okay, some examples of hierarchical organization. A lot of times this isn't necessarily what we think of when we're thinking of it, but the command line is certainly hierarchical. Gopher. We've all seen. Some of us remember Gopher here. I'm starting to feel old, but yeah, Gopher was the early predecessor of the web here at Shell, I believe on Macintosh. And it was completely hierarchical. You went to a Gopher site, you browsed there based on links and so on. Examples, K-Control. Yet another example of hierarchical organization. Gconf, same thing again. A lot of these, a lot of the rationale behind the screenshots is just showing how prevalent hierarchical data structures are in our current desktop needs, and that's pretty much across every major platform right now. We're organizing things into hierarchies, and that a lot of people have a certain tool or a certain program that comes to mind when I think of this, but it's really a very pervasive model. Yahoo. Yahoo categories was the big thing on Yahoo many years ago. And still, if you go to Yahoo, if you're browsing through things, you're going through a hierarchy organized by relevance. They gave up a long time ago on trying to cover the entire web that way, but the early days of Yahoo, the primary indexing was going through an organized set of categories that got smaller and smaller until you found something that seemed relevant. Windows Registry, which is something we're glad to not be dealing with at the moment. But again, fundamentally the same concept. And again, Conqueror. The control panel in Windows, same thing as for us. We're seeing a lot of different faces on the same basic idea. But essentially all of these are working on, you know, top level, something more refined. And we eventually come into problems with this. These data structures become increasingly complex. As I said when I was rambling earlier and trying to come up with something coherent, we, at the time that these models were started, say, the early Mac OS, well, even the older Unixes, the command line was fundamentally hierarchical. That was the way that we interfaced with our computer. And that's something that carried over into the early GUI days, and it's something that here, you know, 10, 15 years later, we're still stuck with. The problem is that on these computers where this idea came into play, this paradigm, we were talking about systems with very few files, very few settings, compared to today's things. Right now, for instance, well, at that time, an average hard drive size might have been 20, 100 megabytes. Now it's pretty common to have 200 gigabytes. We've grown in several orders of magnitude, but we're still essentially sticking to the same type of organization that we used before. There's a threshold at which this becomes silly. This was pretty easily recognized on the web. That was the most prominent example. It just isn't practical to navigate the entire World Wide Web at this point via hierarchy. It's just not possible. Went through this. The web and its predecessor, Google, started off hierarchical. Yahoo was also the same way. And then Google. And the question is, well, there were a lot of people trying things essentially like before. It wasn't a fundamentally new idea, but some of their indexing was new. But right now, and the TS actually said something recently that I liked on this, that it's easier to find things on the web, as large as it is, than it is to find things on our own computers. And I think if we've all probably been in a situation where we were looking for something on the web, you can find it in a matter of seconds. I've even had situations, say, for developing for PDE, where I'm looking for class documentation, and I can't remember what header something's in. I type that into Google, and I can find it faster than I can find it on my own machine, which is a bit silly, because I have all of that data locally, and I can do a lot more with it locally, but Google knows about things that I have access to on my own machine better than my own machine does. Why did we hit this with Google? Why did we hit this with the web? Why was that the point we got to? The web is huge. This is kind of stating the obvious, but I'm pretty good at that. It's been the first popular domain where hierarchical data structures widely broke down. Just ceased to be practical. We've moved on and use almost exclusively metadata and data-aware-based approaches for information discovery and location. A lot of jargon there, but essentially, at this point, we look at Google and how it works, and it's this search based on metadata. And this metadata, at least in my definition, this was in the first slide that got cut off. When I say metadata, I mean a number of things. Information that's traditionally thought of as metadata, so the title of a document, the various document properties and things like that. But I also included basically any knowledge that we have of the document that is independent from the content specifically, and then also as a special case, we'll include the content. So basically everything we know about a document and using that to find it rather than an arbitrary location in a particularly deep hierarchy. More things that I've been repeating here. Our current interfaces were designed around a system of orders of magnitude less data. Hierarchical organization works very, very well when you have 100 files. It's very easy to sort through a very, very small hierarchy when you only go two levels deep and each level only has a dozen files in it. When you enter directories that have thousands of files, thousands of directories, you put these on local area networks where this blows up even more. And in popular, even home computing at this point, we're often dealing with several million files. Trying to navigate that in the same way is just very, very difficult. The same thing is true with our settings these days. With settings, for instance, we've been typically approaching take K-Control or the Windows control panel or Gconf or whatever. This idea was designed around, say, the original macOS panels or the early Windows control panels. When you open those up, you didn't see 50 different groups. And each of those groups didn't have hundreds of settings inside. You had about four. And each of those four had about maybe 10 or 15 settings in it. And hierarchies work very well when you're working with very shallow data structures. But when you're dealing with a modern desktop these days where we have thousands of settings, I'm not even sure how many we have, and just the fact that I can't even come up with an accurate guesstimate gives us an idea of just how much is there. I'm sure even all of us, and most of us being KDE developers here, have experienced the thing at least a few times where we had trouble finding settings. And then we try to think of the users coming and doing this. You look at users switching over to KDE, and it's the same thing going the other way. I don't think it's exclusive. But our setting system at this point is largely based on memorization. You have maybe 30 top-level groups, less than that, maybe 15, whatever. Each of those has subgroups. Each of those has 18 tabs in it these days. And each of those 18 tabs has an advanced button. Finding an individual setting gets very, very, very difficult that way. It's hard for me. I may be the dumbest one in the room, but I'd like to think there's at least a user or two that doesn't know KDE as well as I do. Something has to give at some point. So we have a few choices. We can remove settings, we can hide settings, or we can come up with a fundamentally better way to approach them. KDE users get very, very angry when we remove settings. And I think rightfully so. That's a pretty sane thing. When users are used to working a certain way, they don't like it when you take that away. They also generally don't like it when you hide them. That's honestly been the Windows registry approach and more or less the gconf approach. The settings are still there, but they're not accessible to the users in the same way that they were before. The same users that were able to easily find and modify the settings before aren't. These are the users that were able to memorize an arbitrarily deep K-control structure, but don't feel comfortable in a registry type of system. So what are we left with? Coming up with a fundamentally different approach to it. There we can retain the power that our users are used to, being able to modify all the silly things that we're always complaining about users wanting. The things from the 14 tabs with the advanced button, all the things in the advanced button don't actually have to disappear. We just have to come up with a different way of finding them. So how does the process work? If we're saying that search might actually be a cool idea, what are the steps in it? Peter Novick of Google came up with these four things. the four point is somewhere down below. but broke it down into four basic components. Crawling, indexing, ranking, and I think the last one was displaying, or something along those lines. propose crawling. Crawling's pretty simple. On a web-like system where you're working primarily with hyperlinks, you actually have to discover where your documents are. We have the advantage of knowing a lot more about our data. We know what the file system is, and we know basically what every file in it is. And the same for our setting states databases. So searching or crawling is something that's very easy for us. We just go through the entire file system. Local area networks may at some point present a more interesting problem, but that's really beyond the scope of what I'm looking at the moment. Local area networks, and I think tying together databases of search data, may at some point be very interesting, but before I get too deep into the vaporware, I'll just shut up on that one. We have a number of abstractions for this already. I'm glad that's not all there because it doesn't make sense anyway. We already have abstractions to cover most of these things. We have archaea of slaves and whatnot. So at some point, if the crawler is built in a suitably abstract way, we can then, at a later point in time, add all of the resources that we have available via KIO these days, with very little pain involved. KIO also, not very poorly, provides a metadata layer as well, so you can actually read metadata over a remote resource. Indexing. Indexing is just gathering all this information and trying to put it somewhere useful. Right now we have kfile metainfo, which, albeit very slowly, gives us arbitrary access to the metadata and the things that we know about the file. There are a number of extensions that will have to be done to that for a system like this to actually work entirely properly. But at the moment I have, of course I won't be showing it because it's on my laptop, but I have a simple thing that collects all of the kfile meta info from an arbitrary list of files, puts it into a database, and allows searching based on that. Just using pretty brute force string comparison, but doing that in the database. It's nothing particularly intelligent just yet, but one of the extensions that will have to happen there is the ability to extract full text from files and to actually do indexing in full text. One of the interesting things that I hinted at just before going more on that, even further on the vaporware route, at first this is being stored in a local database. At the moment I'm using MySQL, but that'll probably go to Postgres at some point. It can either be stored in a local database, which makes sense in some cases, but at some point it may make sense to have either a network database or a group of databases cooperating together that can be searched on a local area network. This combined with something like ZeroConf or Service Location Protocol could provide essentially metadata indexing for an entire local area network. For a home network, that's not such a big deal, but in terms of working where I do at a rather large company. The ability to actually query our network for the availability of files on people's machines that they had said, here, this is a resource that I have, could be really, really powerful for sharing documents and actually, I think, bring a pretty legitimate use for peer-to-peer communication. So you have, essentially, there the means for producing a peer-to-peer search engine. And peer-to-peer transfers, but that's, again, further on the paperwork. Ranking, this is tough. The type of thing that I've got working just now is just very simple brute force. This string occurs in the metadata of this file, or this string occurs 3 times in the metadata of this file. That's not particularly interesting. That's very much like the original web-based search engines. There's not a whole lot of organization of relevance there. The advantages that we have are that we know a lot more about our files than web crawlers and web search engines do. We know when people are using them, what applications they're using them in. We can figure out related groups of files and information. And we can try and lump that together into weighting our search results. We don't have the advantage of a massively hyperlinked structure that kind of gives us some idea of how relevant things might be. But we can try to figure out what our users are doing and learn from them actually to use better search results. But this is tough, and this is probably going to require a lot more research on my part to figure out what I'm doing. Display. This is one of those things that I think most of the tools that I've seen so far have really missed. Of course, about 2 days after I submitted this, the Apple guys announced Spotlight, which is similar conceptually to what I've been looking at. But one of the basic things that I think that they missed with Spotlight is that it's a completely independent tool. I don't know if any of you saw the screenshots that were being sent around at one point for Spotlight. There's a couple of approaches to something like this. You either have a search tool that finds things very quickly, and you pull it up when you want to do search. But in line with the idea that I've been talking about so far, I don't see this as something to augment, something to add to our current interfaces. I see it as something to become essentially a primary interface for interacting with files and file dialogs. And I could probably piss a lot of people off in the process, but I'm good at that too. So primarily one of the things that I've been looking at and had hoped to get this working, I may yet this week get a mock-up of this going, K-file dialog. I would like it to be such that when you go to open a file, you're not prompted for, again, this huge file structure, but you're actually given the option to search in your own file system and get things based on relevance to open a file. And that can be, say that you saved it with a given title. Aaron and I have talked about this. We have, there's a lot of discussion to be had on this point. But say that you save some metadata along with the title, description, or taking something that I know for the music applications. There, for instance, you're looking for something by a certain artist or from a certain year. These are things that you can query on. And actually to be able to do that in the open file dialog. The other side of that is that when you're saving a file, file names are pretty useless for the most part. In trying to come up with a unique identifier these days, file names, you know, it has to be very, very long to contain any amount of really useful data in the context of a file system with 500,000 files on it. So the idea is to save more meaningful bits of data along with it. So if you're writing a paper, maybe you give a title to the paper or an author. And these things are saved along with them. That's what you would use when you're opening a file, the actual properties of the file. This won't work everywhere, but I think in a lot of cases it would. The display sign for settings. How am I doing on time, actually? Search becomes the primary interface in K-Control. I've talked to a number of people about this, and it seems like a lot of the people involved in this are actually pretty interested in that. Aaron specifically has seen many people. Pages should be broken down into much more atomic and better indexed things. This is one fundamental problem we have with K-Control these days, and with all, not just K-Control. I'm using K-Control as kind of a euphemism for basically all the modern settings tools. When you're working based on memorization, you don't want to have 10,000 entries in there. You don't want to have these very small units that people have to memorize the location of. So we kind of arbitrarily lump things into pages in K-Control. And again, you know, you have a page with 18 tabs and, you know, 47 advanced buttons and all these things. But if you really start looking at them and you say, how are these related, a lot of the time you have to come back with not really at all. A lot of our K-Control pages and a lot of the settings that we lump together semi-logically just really don't have any relationship. So what you do for a search type of motif is that you break these down into things that only tightly grouped collections of settings should be in a unit. So, you know, say you're changing the keyboard layout, there you would also want, or say you're turning that on and off, you would also want to be able to change, you know, the layout that you're using. Those are tightly grouped settings. Things that aren't tightly grouped are key bindings and keyboard layouts. Sometimes, some revision, one of the last, you know, I think in the last year we've had, what, 9 K control reorganizations or something. You know, at one point those two were lumped together for no real logical reason except that they both contain the word key. And we have a lot of that. In a search-based system, you break this down more. You come up with ways to index these in logical manner, and you sort them by relevance. We could also come up with something relatively easily to figure out what a specific user is using most of the time and cache that. Deciding how to display that is something that can be sorted out relatively easily. One of the biggest problems that we have compared to online search engines is we have missing links. We don't have any way to relate data on the desktop these days. So as compared to the web, which is everything's going in all these directions at once. Right now, on our local file systems, even though it's incredibly logical to actually link data together, we don't do it. The closest we come is we throw things into a directory. But a directory is a pretty poor way to signify that a group of files is related, especially compared to something where you're working in a web-based thing. If we were looking at API documentation, you saw a name for a class, we're used to clicking on that, and it goes to, we don't want to hear, oh, it's in the same directory, you know, just go up one level and then, you know, find that class documentation. We don't do that. We don't do that for a good reason. Linking between documents makes a lot of sense. And that also improves the ability of a search engine to index things because it can see the structure of documents and how they're really related, not just where someone happened to throw them at the time. So at some point, I think within the KDE platform, this is something Aaron and I have talked a lot about last week. We need to build a concept of cross-document linkage. Partially for the ability to index things, but partially just because of the general same idea. Extending the idea of links to come up with a general KDE-based abstraction for linking data and components together. Most of what I've been talking about. Shared metadata databases allows peer-to-peer resource sharing in a local area network. That one a bit as well. And more data-centric applications rather than file-based applications. One of the real advantages of moving to something that's focusing on metadata and focusing on the content of documents rather than kind of arbitrary file system organization is that when you when you start moving towards approaching documents as data and treating them appropriately for their content, not for arbitrary qualities, it opens up a lot of possibilities for the way that applications work and the way that we interact with our applications. The idea of a file is nice and it's useful and it served us well for quite a long time. And it's something that will stay around. But on the other hand, data isn't fundamentally organized into files. There's not something about computing that means that when you interact with something, it has to be with a file. Most of the time when we're on the web these days, we don't think about the fact that we're hitting files. We're just going through a directory of documents and related data. The hardcore kind of file-based approach is something that we're still mostly just doing on our own computers, but we've moved past on the web. It will be interesting to see if something like moving towards a metadata-based system kind of opens up a bridge to, I guess, more interesting approaches to data on the desktop. Let's push through it a little bit quickly, so if I confused anyone more than necessary, you know, wave your hands and throw things at me.
The only thing I'm a bit worried about is, right, you said if the user wants to save a file or something, then he has to add the metadata.
Has the ability to.
So, but usually if the user has to do it, he won't do it. That's practically what that.
Yeah, that is a problem. And that's something that I've been thinking about and talking to a few people about. There are a number of things you can do with the interface to try to encourage that in a sense. Essentially making the metadata, I mean, these days most people actually will set a file name, you know. Of course we look at a lot of users, and these, you know, especially like Windows users, and they have text document one, text document two. So that breaks down as well. But Most people have at least gotten used to the idea of entering one metadata property, and that's at this point the file name. Whether or not we can actually get them used to doing more is something that will have to be tried out. The real advantage of doing something like this is that that gives you something better to wait and search. But the goal should be at some point that even if the user isn't entering metadata, that we're able to figure out enough about the document independently to come up with a reasonable search anyway. So say you have the full text and you index the full text and you come up with something useful about that, and that gets a certain weight in your page ranking and your document ranking. On the other hand, if someone has explicitly said, this is a document about, you know, panda bears, and you know, then you do a search for panda bears, that's going to get a higher rank because they've explicitly noted that that was a document on that topic. So that's the idea. It's not going to be an either or, but to where automatically discovered data would just have a slightly lower priority than things that people entered themselves.
Looking at Moodle, I think we can run the explicit metadata, like in web pages, is not important enough today. Hits are much more precise if you ignore.
That's very true for Google. I'm not sure how true that will be for us. At some point, I would like for that to be true, but I think we're still a few infrastructure steps away from that. The reason I think that's true is because Google has something, my slide here was called the missing link. We don't have links right now to sort out the relevance of documents. That's the most important part of Google's page ranking. At some point, I would like to develop an idea of, or a piece of infrastructure that could serve as a cross-document link in an abstract sense between documents on KDE desktop. But until we have that, we can't index things, or using the old terms here, we can't rank things in the same way that Google does, because we don't have links there. Metadata was more important than we... go for it, we'll work out.
So, I like the idea of having links between my files, but you were mainly talking about establishing these links manually. So have you already thought about, like, for instance, if I edit some file and at the same time I open a PDF file or an HTML file, that you maybe can automatically link these files together just because the user used to view these files at the same time?
There's a lot of things I haven't thought about. And I think there are a lot of good ideas that will come out of this, and I think that specifically is a good idea that I had not thought about. And that's a lot of what I'm doing here. I mean, I'm sitting here mostly talking about Vaporware because, you know, my demo program is pretty cheesy at this point. So this is an idea that I'd like to have pretty mature enough to use by KDE4. So I'm very open to people with cool ideas, and that's specifically one of them. What you could do in something like that is you could call that an implicit link. Put that, again, in this ranking scheme. That would have less priority than an explicit link. So if someone said, and just like with the metadata and the automatically discovered things, an explicit link would have a higher priority than an implicit link, but that makes a lot of sense. And that's kind of what I was talking about with usage patterns. If people open one thing and then open another thing, or there's this group of documents they tend to use at the same time, they typically, we'll come back to it in a minute. Working down.
Yeah.
So,
idea is very interesting, but one problem I have is a unified system that on your hard disk you have a file that you create and that you get, like the help system. For example, the help system, or for example, MP3, you can get very easily very good structured metadata.
Yeah.
But the file you create, I can talk about my experience. I've taken historical notes on MS Word for 10 years. And I put metadata in it. I never use it because the metadata I put 10 years ago is not at all the metadata I put today. So when I do a search on the metadata, I find nothing. So I have to do a full text search to find my data. And another problem is that a file can take a lot of information. If you take one file, for example, your mail has millions of documents. And if you index on, should you index on the document more or the information bit more than on the file?
Well, like I said, you do both. So the metadata, I think, is important. but so is the full timestamp. So in this case, if your metadata wasn't relevant, hopefully you would be able to hit it with a full text search. Both of these things would be happening at the same time. You're not going to say, I'm doing a metadata search or I'm doing a full text search. You're just doing a search, and the ranking kind of scheme would happen in the background.
But should you have a unified search? I think you should have a search for your own, the thing you create, and a specialized search for help, for MP3, for... I don't think the Microsoft thing of putting all together is a very user-friendly kind of thing. I think that the user wants to be able to distinguish clearly what he creates and the other things on the computer or on the internet. I think it's two different kinds of documents.
I'm not sure that I agree there, but we can go back to that one in a minute, or at some point, like, push through some of the other questions here for the moment. So. Who was the next one? I think it was Sam.
Yeah, the Gnome guys have a
Oh, 5 minutes. Okay, cool.
They have a thing called Dashboard that kind of has part of that association concept happening. Obviously, we don't want something that's fundamentally different so that it only works in if you have a KDE desktop or you have a Gnome desktop, because there's some at least some instrumentation required in applications to make that sort of technology work. But I guess that would be a useful thing to sort of rely on. But the other question was about, if you go to this broader concept, how do you associate privacy and different usage patterns so that home users who might care that instant messaging relates to mail users, relates to birthday cards they wrote, into an office situation where people care that the association between a file and a word processing document and a spreadsheet is much more important.
Yeah.
Maybe need some kind of learning approach to
that. Well, that's the idea, is that these things aren't going to be implicit in a sense. It's not going to be, you're not going to start off with a predefined set of associations. The idea is that your computer, these things are really pretty simple for the most part. These aren't revolutionary ideas, it's just that he's doing the, your computer can recognize these connections and build up this database as it goes. Statistically, this isn't difficult to say. This is what they're doing with it. Associate these things in an abstract sense, and this is the way that they're using their data. Once you have the framework in place and applications actually using it, I don't think that the differences in usage patterns will at least fundamentally be a block. Now, practically speaking, in the land of actually writing code, it may become problematic, but at least in concept, I don't think that there's anything that fundamentally wouldn't allow that to work. Did that answer that at all? Just dancing around the problem?
Yes.
Okay, you, go.
May I ask, you did not mention how are you going to index the data? You can imagine 100 gigabytes of data, and probably that takes some minutes.
Yeah, it does. It takes more than a few minutes.
And I want to modify it and
It's, well, like a lot of systems built like this, the first indexing is hard. That's going to take a long time. So say you install a system like this, the first run, well, kfile metainfo has terrible performance right now, and that's something we can really improve. But right now I can index like my /docs folder in 5 minutes maybe, which that has a few thousand documents in it. That's too long, and we can make that faster. But right now it's a static indexer, so it's just something you run over all of your files. You go back, you check the modified data, it hasn't been changed since the last time you reread the metadata. The other thing we can do is if we're saving a file in KDE somewhere, we know that we're saving that, so we say update it in the database. Getting close to the end here. But so right now it's a pretty dumb approach to it. At some point I would like to come up with a more creative approach, but the first step will just be getting something working, and so at first it'll be kind of a brute force indexing. Do I have time for the last two? Or is it? Okay. Aaron, you've gotten a lot of questions in the last week, so we'll let you dance later. But was it? Oh, no, it was Zach.
In relation to all the questions, I think because people are afraid of actually putting metadata, just because the switch from the just inputting the file name to metadata is a hard one. And first of all, I don't think I agree with Martin saying a lot of metadata is just useless for a lot of these things. Like for example, for images, it's you want to have, let's say you have a few collections. I have one with my images for conferences or whatever. I name those images somehow. We can index those images, right? And then have everything else in relation to the images we already have metadata on. So let's say I download an image with one of my friends, and I already have an image with him in my collection. I can easily relate those together just from indexing those things. And I think one of the things that we filed down that the iPhone gives us is the specification, specific files. So that you get rid of actually forcing on users to metadata, so you guys can actually get the metadata yourself. Because I think we're moving away from the separation of metadata and the file data. You can get a lot of metadata from the data from the file. And I don't know, at least to me, it seems to me like the metadata is, we're getting beyond that. We're actually indexing right now the data itself.
Well, most of the metadata that I'm talking about is actually included inside the file.
Right. I mean, the GIS information that the user has is that's something that I consider useless in any personal means. I mean, let's say you have your own picture. I mean, you do want to say this is me, right? There's no other way you can actually get that from the picture. But as soon as you do that, we have algorithms to go through the images and just look for the face or whatever shape, and we can get that.
Well, image recognition algorithms.
Just trust me on that. I have.
Okay. Yeah. Well, I think you have to have a point to start from. That's
right,
a lot of
exactly.
What the metadata is about. Where this moves to eventually is more of the concept of trying to establish something like the kind of changing the topic of my talk as we go revisionist here. Essentially, once you have a mechanism for linking things and figuring
right.
that out, that becomes, I think, more important.
Indexing, that's the crucial point. Once you have the additional index set up, you can just go from there and just go to serve.
Yeah.
I mean,
that's a big
part of things. The issues, those go away if we start with trying the metadata into the file that you're talking about is critical. We throw away so much information in our application, it's not even defining. I mean, the sources, where it comes from, who's responsible for the creation of it, how it was used, when it was used, what else they're looking at. If anything, as we go to KDE4, as application developers, think about the information we're throwing away and try to stop throwing it away and find ways to capture that information in a usable mechanism that's tied directly with the files, because that will enable these technologies to go a lot further.
What you said.
Thanks, Jeff.